So we'll be looking at John 14, verses 15 through 17 this morning. We'll read it in just a little while. This past week was trying on me in a number of ways, and I found myself feeling spread thin and tired and imperfect. And we all need help in life, really in all areas of life, even those that we feel competent in. I mean, who of us hasn't realized that we have limits, weaknesses, and insufficiencies? And so if we've given much thought at all to it, we recognize our limitations, our weaknesses, our need for help. We're creatures. We're not the Creator. Those of us who are in Christ have been given life, but we depend on God for our life. We don't have it in ourselves, and we also stumble in many ways. We need help. And what if I told you that you could have, do have a permanent helper within you of limitless power, of limitless wisdom, and of limitless goodness? And what if I told you that this person, this helper, knows and loves Jesus Christ infinitely and has a wonderful plan to share that, not for us to share. He has a wonderful plan for us to share in that knowledge and love of Christ more and more. And so we're going to read about this helper this morning, and we're going to read John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. So I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word here from John 14, 15 through 17. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So after telling the disciples that because he would be going to the Father, they would do greater works than those he did, greater, as we talked about last time, greater in the sense that the works of Jesus' disciples would flow from and point to the crucified and exalted Redeemer. We do works on this side of Jesus' death, resurrection, and exaltation. And he had instructed his disciples there just before the passage that we just read that whatever they would ask in his name, meaning as representing him, in his name, meaning as representing him, he would do. And then we read, as we just did in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so this is the immediate context for what we just read. And then in verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, love meaning to desire, to have affection for, to cherish, to highly esteem, to take pleasure in, to care about. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." And so we see in this, the way that he says it here is that our obedience to Christ flows out of our love for him as an expression of it. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, if you desire me, if you have affection for me, if you cherish me, if you highly esteem me, if you take pleasure in me, if you care about me, you will obey my commandments. And so that the obedience that we do unto Christ flows here out of our love for him as an expression of it. So this isn't a cold or perhaps a begrudging obedience. It's an obedience as an expression of genuine love for Jesus. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Now you can tell the difference when you see it, can't you? You can tell the difference between those two approaches of relating to Jesus, of love flowing out in obedience, and of the obedience of mere dutifulness. In fact, the obedience of mere dutifulness falls short of full obedience because part of what Jesus commands us to do is to love Him. And He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So you can tell the difference between those two approaches of relating to Jesus, a kind of mere dutifulness. Now, duty's good, but this kind of mere dutifulness and an obedience that flows out of love for Jesus, that's energized by, that expresses love for Jesus. And so how are we going to be able to grow in our love for Jesus and to do all these things? And His commands, not just in this immediate passage that we looked at, but all of His commands to receive His ministry, to obey Him, to follow Him, and you can list all the commands that, that Jesus gives. How are we going to obey His commands, which even still we do imperfectly, but we're going to do them by being motivated out of our love for Him, flowing out of our love for Him. How are we going to be able to do this, to love Jesus more and so obey His commands? Well, by this helper that Jesus says that He will ask the Father to send to us. This is how we are able to grow in our love for Jesus and obey His commands, is by this other helper that Jesus asked that the Father would give us. So who is this other helper? He's clearly a person to be known, not an it. We're talking about a person here, this helper, as verse 17 tells us. Verse 17, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So you know Him. This person, this helper, is capable of being known. He's a person. And this word for helper is a word in Greek, like paraclete. Sounds kind of like parakeet, but it's not. Paraclete. And this word actually appears 5 times in Scripture. 4 of them in the Gospel according to John. And we're going to look at those in just a minute. And then 1 in 1 John 2:1. Now in 1 John 2:1, it's translated, at least in the ESV, as advocate. And it refers to Jesus Christ. So Jesus is a helper. In fact, we see Him helping in this very passage by praying to the Father that we would receive this other helper. And so there's 2 helpers termed paraclete in the Bible, and only 2. As I say, those are the only 5 occurrences of the word paraclete, and it refers to Jesus in 1 John 2:1, and then it refers to the Holy Spirit in John. Every time that it's in the Gospel according to John, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. So helper, in the sense of in the term of paraclete, is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, as I mentioned, it refers to the Holy Spirit 4 times in John, and I want to go ahead and read those in some context to then help us to be, these are the other, the, along with the passage we just read, these other 4, or other 3, form the 4 places, the 4 what you might call paraclete passages in the Gospel according to John, and speak of the Holy Spirit and His ministry. And so I want to read those here in succession to give us some greater biblical context for thinking about this helper that Jesus said that He will ask the Father to send. So John 14, 16 through 17, we just read it, but I'll read it again and then go on through. I'll say them and then read them. It's John 14, 16 through 17, John 14, 26, John 15, 26 through 27, and John 16, 7 through 15. So let's go ahead and read those. John 14, 16 through 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And then John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. And then 17, and we'll read, or 16, and we'll read 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Notice the Spirit here, he says, does not speak on his own authority. Jesus also taught how he spoke not on his own authority, but on the authority of the Father. This authority that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have together. In fact, we're going to be talking more next time about the Trinity, which comes up in this passage very, very strongly. So we'll be spending more time next week speaking about the Trinity in this passage and a little bit further on in this passage. So the Holy Spirit then, this helper, is the Holy Spirit. We just read those passages speaking of him. And by calling him another helper who is sent by the Father, of which in John, the only persons that are said to be sent by the Father are the Spirit and the Son. So when you read John, you see it's the Son from the Father, and the Spirit sent from the Father. And we'll speak more about next week how the Spirit is sent from the Father and the Son. The Spirit sent from the Father and the Son sent from the Father are the only two persons in all of John that are said to be sent from, quote, the Father. And so also the use of the word here, another, there's two words for another in Greek. And the word here is one that often can mean, although not exclusively, but often can mean another of the same kind. So when Jesus says another helper from the Father, it's clear in context that this one is another of the same kind as Jesus, sent also from the Father, another helper of the same kind as Jesus. That is, the Holy Spirit also is God. When Jesus refers to him as another helper from the Father, it's clear in context that he's speaking of the deity of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned next week, we'll speak more of the Trinity next week. So you can wait more for that. But think about how amazing this is, that God dwells within us. This helper that Jesus prayed would be sent from the Father to be with us forever, but not just with us, but in us. That this is God dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, dwelling within us. So God dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit in us. This is amazing to think about. Now, this word, and we'll come back to that some more too, but this word for helper, your Bible may have a different translation. The ESV, the NASB, and the New King James all translate this word, paraclete, as helper. You also, if you have the NIV or the NET, it's translated as advocate. As I mentioned, that's how it's translated in 1 John 2:1 by the ESV, advocate. It's also translated in the Christian Standard Bible as counselor. And I think they're probably thinking of it primarily there in terms of the legal sense, of a legal counselor. This word was used in the ancient world sometimes in a courtroom setting, a legal setting, a counselor. And then the King James Version used the word comforter, and meaning it in the old sense of strengthen, to comfort, to strengthen us. From the Latin, to together strong, con forte, maybe, I don't know Latin, but together strong, the old sense of someone who strengthens us, comforts us in a variety of ways. A standard Greek lexicon gives a definition for this word as this. Bedag says it's, quote, one who appears in another's behalf, mediator, intercessor, helper. So Jesus is going to send this other helper from the Father to help us, his disciples, who were left here on earth in his physical absence. When he ascended to the Father, and he's going to send the Spirit for our earthly ministry to help us and actually to be with and in us forever. So the Spirit is a helper who, as verse 16 says, is with us forever. He's with us who are Jesus' disciples, in contrast with the world who does not know or have the Holy Spirit. You see that there in verse 17. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he dwells with and in us who are Jesus's disciples. And there's never a time in our lives, think about this, brothers and sisters, there's never a time in our lives that we don't have the Holy Spirit as our helper. He dwells with and in us forever. And this is the Holy Spirit who is himself with the Father and the Son, God. As Sinclair Ferguson pointed out, the Holy Spirit that we have dwelling within us, who we have dwelling within us, is the exact same one Holy Spirit who was in Jesus as he was ministering on earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor. The same and Spirit who dwelt in Jesus on earth during his public ministry is dwelling in us on earth for our ministry as well. He's the helper sent from the Father and the Son out of heaven to indwell those of us who are Jesus' disciples. So think of it. The Holy Spirit, who was in Jesus as he taught and ministered and healed, is himself in you and in me, who are believers in Christ. So one of the implications of this is that if we aren't experiencing the Spirit's influence as much as we'd like in our lives, the problem can't be with him. The problem can't be Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. It must lie within us, not fully cooperating with him. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back to this thought a little bit later, but first I want to mention how the Holy Spirit is not just with us, but he is in us. Again, verse 17. Since Christ has ascended and sent the Spirit in the new covenant arrangement at Pentecost, he henceforth dwells in believers. The Holy Spirit henceforth dwells in believers, not just with, but in those of us who are believers in Christ. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit lives in us since the moment we began trusting in Christ. And as Arthur Pink, a theologian, has pointed out in his commentary on John, the Holy Spirit indwells us as a temple. The Holy Spirit, think of the Old Testament temple and the blood that was used to ritually purify and God's presence dwelt within the temple among Israel. The Holy Spirit indwells us, disciples of Jesus, as a temple on the ground of Christ's atoning blood. Christ's atoning blood, the only atonement that can and has taken away sin. The Holy Spirit dwells in us on the basis, on the ground of Christ's atoning blood. We don't have it in and of ourselves, the purity in and of ourselves to be a suitable home for the Holy Spirit. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it's because Jesus has washed us in his blood through faith in him that we are suitable for the Holy Spirit to live within us. So it's on the ground of Christ's atoning blood that the Spirit dwells within us, that we are a suitable home for the Holy Spirit to indwell us, even though we're not yet fully sanctified. But the Holy Spirit is in the process of making us more and more like the one whose blood has covered our sins. So the Holy Spirit indwells us, those of us who are disciples of Jesus. And there are two kinds of people that we read about in verse 17. The world, those who neither see nor know the Holy Spirit. And that word for see there is another word than the one we saw last week in Greek. Theoreo, you can see where it comes from. The word theory comes from this. And it means to see or to look at, with the physical eye. But it also has the sense of perceiving or experiencing. So, and this is the sense in which Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit, who is as spirit invisible. It's like seeing the invisible wind. You don't actually see the wind, but you perceive it, and you see effects of the wind. You perceive the wind, and you experience the wind. It's in this sense of perceiving or experiencing the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't perceive or experience the Holy Spirit. They don't know him. But there's another kind of person that we read about in John 17, and that is those of us who are disciples of Jesus who do know him in connection with Christ, in whom he does dwell, with whom he is with us. So let me say that if you do not have the Holy Spirit within you, you can be cleansed of your sins and made a suitable home for him to indwell you. And you will receive him if you will turn from your sins to Jesus, receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. Now, for those of us who are believers, we might wonder why we don't experience more of the Holy Spirit's influence and fellowship in our lives, since he is our constant companion with us and in us forever. He's our constant companion sent from heaven to indwell us on earth. Why is it then that we don't experience more of the Holy Spirit's influence and fellowship? And I'm not talking about here just sort of the more, you know, spectacular sort of things that we might think of, but the influence of the Holy Spirit and his fellowship in all of life, in all areas and aspects of our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, and our wills. Well, let me ask you this. Are you ignoring or even opposing or resisting him in his ministry? So he's sent to be our helper, and he has a helping ministry, and we're going to look at that a little bit more later, this helping ministry of truth. So are you ignoring or opposing him even in his ministry? How earnest are you in taking his ministry of helping us know and follow Christ better to heart? How earnest are you in taking to heart the Holy Spirit's ministry? You know, we're commanded in Ephesians 5:15 by Paul, by God, through Paul, and we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is set in contrast with being drunk with wine, being filled and drunk with wine. That we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even though we already have him indwelling us already. And it's not like part of him indwells us. No, the whole of the Holy Spirit indwells us and every single believer in Christ. So we already have him in us. And yet Paul says, be filled with him who is already in you, rather than being drunk by wine. So how can we be more or less filled with him? How can we be more or less under his influence, as opposed in context to example to wine? How can we be more or less in sync with him? So how can we be more filled, more under his influence, more in sync with him who dwells in us? Be filled. Well, it depends on how much we're going to be filled with him in this sense. Think about this. What would happen if someone lived with you, let alone in you, but if somebody lived with you in your house, but you paid no attention to that person or even opposed him or her. Say, for example, your spouse. You're in the same home. You're in a relationship. But you're largely disconnected from or even at odds with one another. You ignore them. You oppose them. You don't really want their influence on you. You resist them. You ignore them. Would you expect that person then to be influencing your life very much, or for you to have close communion with him or her? So if we're ignoring or opposing the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives, why would we expect to greatly experience his powerful influence or sweet fellowship greatly? If we're grieving or squelching or resisting the Holy Spirit, why would we then expect to have great experience of His influence and sweet fellowship in our lives? As I mentioned, the problem is not with the Holy Spirit. If we're not experiencing the helping ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as greatly as we'd like to, we need to look and see how we are relating to the Holy Spirit, and if it's one of receiving, accepting, yielding to the Holy Spirit, coming under His influence, being filled with Him in that way, or are we resisting or ignoring, apathetic, maybe actively opposed, in how we are living our lives and thinking and what we're pursuing and loving in life. Now then, in this passage, so we want to not resist the Holy Spirit. We want to receive His ministry. What then is the ministry of the Holy Spirit spoken of here in John chapter 14, 15 through 17? So that we don't ignore or oppose Him in that ministry. So we don't fail to much experience His fellowship in it. Well, as we've seen already in those passages that I read, John calls the Holy Spirit the Helper and the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. So at the heart of the Spirit's helping ministry is truth. Even the person who just before this, in John chapter 14, 6, himself said that He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And so at the heart of the Spirit's helping ministry is truth. Even the person, Jesus Christ, who has told us that He is the truth. The Spirit within us then helps us to better know and live by the truth of Christ. As Jesus said in John 16, 14, He says this of the Holy Spirit, and we read this just a little bit ago, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit personally applies the truth of Christ to us, mind, heart, and will. He illumines, gifts, and sanctifies us in the truth, in Christ. One night in a church parking lot, J.A. Packer saw that there was a cross on the building of a church that was intensely lit up by a floodlight. And he was actually speaking on that verse there that evening, John 16, 14. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And Packer realized what a wonderful illustration this is of the Holy Spirit's ministry in shining the floodlight on Christ and His ministry as a Spirit of Truth, helping us to know and live in and grow in the truth of Christ and His ministry, that the Holy Spirit is in the helping business of helping us to know and grow in and minister in Christ, personally applying the truth of Christ to us, mind, heart, and will. And so Packer saw this floodlight illuminating the cross as this wonderful illustration of the ministry of the Holy Spirit glorifying Christ. And one of the things he noted is that the floodlight is so intense and bright that it illumines details that you might not otherwise notice of the cross. It's so bright. It's illuminating details of this cross. Well, the Holy Spirit shines a light on Christ and His ministry. He opens our eyes to see the Word of God, to see Christ, and He illumines Christ in our hearts and our minds to help us to better see Christ and His ministry and to live by that truth. And details of it, there's so much that we still have to grow in our knowledge of Christ, things about Him, closeness to Him. And the Holy Spirit is this ministry of truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. He's the one who does this ministry within us. So at its heart, the Spirit's ministry in our lives is illuminating and applying the truth of Christ and His ministry to us, that we might know and grow in and serve and worship God. So He brings us into the knowledge of God at conversion. He regenerates us. And then those of us who know Him, He helps us to, that we might know Him more, that we might grow in our knowledge of Him, that we might apply the truth of Christ to our hearts, our minds, our wills, that we might know and grow and serve and worship God even more. As just one example of this ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this is one that you know He's doing in my life, so you can think of, you know, thousands of things that this applies to, but take our growth in patience. We're told that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness is one of the ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned there in Ephesians 5. So our growth in patience. Well, as we prayerfully read the scriptures, we see how patient Christ is with us. How lovingly and graciously He has borne with us and is bearing with us who are imperfect, who are slow, who even to the point of His death expended massive amounts of time and energy and possessions and love to serve us. And as we see in greater and greater detail, as the floodlight of the Holy Spirit is shining on Christ, as we look at Him in the pages of Scripture and the Spirit's doing this illuminating work in our minds and hearts, so we see Him lit up in greater detail, and as we grow in this greater detail of understanding about Christ, aspects of the truth of Christ's patience that hadn't really sort of struck us as much. This is, and those that have, this is Holy Spirit ministry. And as we see in the pages of Scripture how patient Christ is with us, how patient He is with me, and I see this in greater and greater detail, even what I've already seen, this massive patience that He has with me and continues to have with me, and as the truth of that sinks into my heart, then I am affected by it and become more deeply grateful to Him for His amazing patience that I don't deserve, His amazing grace that I don't deserve, and I become then also more patient with others as the truth of Christ is being illumined and applied to my mind and my heart and my will by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so He takes the truth of Christ and illumines and applies it to our minds, our hearts, our wills, that we grow in the knowledge of the truth and walk and live more according to the truth. The Helper who lives within us, who takes what is Christ and declares it to us, this Helper, this Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit living within each of us who are in Christ. So let me close with this. Are we attending to the Holy Spirit and His glorious ministry? Are we looking at and taking on board all that He is teaching us of Christ in His Word? Are we letting that influence our thoughts, our time, our ambitions, our actions, our priorities, our plans, our affections, our attitudes, our rest, our relief, our loves, our lives? Are we receiving the ministry of this Helper who indwells us? Are we attending to Him? Are we receiving His ministry? Or are we apathetic toward it or ignoring it or even more actively resisting it? The Holy Spirit knows and loves Jesus Christ as well as the Father infinitely. He knows and loves the Son and the Father infinitely from all eternity. And He has this wonderful plan, this wonderful ministry for us that we would share in that knowledge and love more and more. That we would know more fully and walk more fully in accord with and grow in the truth of Christ and the ministry of what Christ has done and is doing for us. He is the Helper that we need within, who has been sent out of heaven, from the Father and the Son, who was sent because of Christ, asking, as He said He would, I will ask the Father to send Him to you. That after Christ's exaltation, He asked the Father, and the Spirit was sent at Pentecost. And since then, indwells those of us who are Christ's disciples from the moment of conversion. We have the Holy Spirit within there to minister to us, and not just with us, but also in us forever. And so as we think about these things, let's, in our own hearts and minds and wills, think whether we are yielding ourselves to the Spirit, or if we're resisting Him, or ignoring Him, and think of how we might more fully attend to and receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this ministry of truth, this ministry of the truth of Christ, that we might know and walk according to and grow and serve in the knowledge of Christ, the Son, and of His Father, and in the fellowship and knowledge of the Holy Spirit as well. There's a wonderful passage that I'll use for our benediction here shortly. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, we read this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son and for sending Your Spirit to live in our lives, to carry on a helping ministry of the truth of Your Son in our lives as we have Christ and His ministry further illuminated and applied to us, heart, mind, and will. I pray that You would help us to be fully open to receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't resist Him, that we wouldn't be lazy or apathetic or even more intensely opposed to His ministry, but that we would be yielded, that He might fill us more fully as we yield to Him, as we come more under His influence, under the influence of His ministry, as He ministers Christ and His truth to us. Pray that You do that in each of our hearts and lives more fully, those of us who are in Christ. And if there is somebody here or listening that does not know Christ, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, You would awaken them, regenerate them to see the glory of Christ, and so receive Him as their Lord and Savior as well. And so worship You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.